Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, knowledge of the absolute, text number 11. Bala balavatam chaham kama raga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava balam strength Bala vatam of the strong. Cha and aham I am. Kama passion. Raga an attachment. Vivarditam devoid of. Dharma aviruddha not against religious principles. Bhuteshu, in all beings. Kama, sex life. Asmi, I am. Bharata Rishabha, O Lord of the Bharatas. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas. Purport, a strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak, not for personal aggression. Similarly, sex life according to religious principles, dharma, should be for the propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring Krishna conscious. Yechaiva sattika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye patake viti tan vidi na tvaham teshu temai. This is text 12. There we go. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. Purport, all material activities in the material world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature. Although these modes of material nature are emanations from the Supreme Krishna, He is not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna. But Krishna is not subject to material nature. Therefore He is nirguna, which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from Him, do not affect Him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There aren't a lot of subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, although it appears like that. Bhagavad Gita is specifically to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme and that everything else is His energy. And that in order to realize that, we have to utilize whatever energy we have and utilize that in Krishna's service. Presently, as it says here, that under the three modes of material nature, we believe so many things. In the mode of ignorance, we believe that we're actually the proprietors. Now, we may not be completely in ignorance, because we also believe, having a little bit of passion, that we're the enjoyers. And we may not be completely in passion and ignorance, we still believe, to a certain extent, that we're actually the saviors. But one who's transcendental, he knows that actually he's not the controller, he's not the enjoyer, that is the supreme enjoyer, and he's not the ultimate savior. So in order to do that, Krishna is explaining, in order to help us, that he's pointing out that these things are me, these are my energies. That you may be very strong, and under false ego, one may believe that I'm strong. And one may be wanting to engage in propagating children. One should know that the purpose of that should be to bring them up in Krishna consciousness. In other words, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based upon the principle that Krishna is God, and that he is all those things that we are thinking that we are, namely the controller, the enjoyer, the actual savior. Now, unless we can accept that, then we have to accept different, unless we can give up that misunderstanding, unless we develop the intelligence to see things properly, then our minds will be unclear. As it says by Maharaj Rishabhdev, Paravas tava rabodha jata, yavana dignasita atmatadvam, yavan kriyas tavati dhammanovai, karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. Paravas comes from the upper pavarga. Paravas means defeat. So, unless we can inquire jignasu tattva, unless we inquire about who we actually are and what is the reality of the situation that we're in and how to actually realize things as they are, then we're said to be defeated by ignorance. Now, without having a background in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it may seem rather extreme that these Hare Krishnas, they're fanatics, they believe that unless they surrender to Krishna, then they're being defeated by ignorance. Yes, that's what we believe. But Krishna doesn't merely say that. First of all, he tells us that we're not the body. Then he goes through the chapters in the Karma Yoga to explain exactly how the illusory energy works. That if we're looking around the material world, we may experience something called lust when we want to enjoy something in the material world. Independently of Krishna, then lust arises. So anyone who hasn't experienced lust, they must be a pure devotee. If someone says, well, I don't believe there's such a thing as lust. Well, they're quite rare. Maybe the four Kumaras may be able to say that. But I think most people in the material world are not so pure. Most people have the practical experience of time, for instance. Time is changing everything. Now, if one says, I don't believe in time, some people say like that. You say, all right, I'm the controller, they say. Okay, you're controlling the sun and the moon, I guess. Yes, of course, I'm controlling everything. So good. Can you move the sun a little bit over there because it's a little too warm today? I could, the person responds, but I don't want to. Oh, great. Can you increase the temperature a little bit more? You look like you're cold. He said, I could, but I don't want to. Well, what can you do? What do you want to do? What can you do? Can you show me your universal form? I could if you were my devotee, but I won't because you're not devoted to me. So, what kind of God are you? You don't seem to want to do anything to show that you're God. So, people say they're God, they're controlling they're the ones who are moving the planets in their orbit. But they don't seem to be able to move any planet, or they say they don't want to. They don't want to do anything. Then who's doing everything? If you don't want to do anything, then who's doing everything? What does it mean that you're God if you don't want to do anything? Or if you say, I don't believe in time, then great. You don't believe that you're going to get older. No, I don't believe I'm going to get older. Okay, well, see me in 20 years and we'll see what. Can you show me a picture of when you were a baby? I could, but I don't want to. Were you ever a baby? Yes, but I'm still exactly the same person. You haven't changed at all. No, I'm exactly the same as when I was a baby. Really, show me your mother. I'd like to see what she looks like. You're exactly the same as when you were born. How big is she, anyhow? So people speak all kinds of nonsense, and if we're nonsense, we'll actually believe them. Yes, it's true, we are the body's not changing. Nothing's changing. Sure, nothing's changing. Except for your mind, which changes every minute. They don't believe in time. They don't believe there's a controller in the... They don't believe anything. Anything it says in the Bhagavad Gita, they don't believe. But whatever it says in the newspaper, they're completely sold out. It's 100% true. Whatever the scientists say. The scientists said in 1920 that light was a wave. And in 1930 they said it was a particle. And now they say it's a wavicle. But they're always right, even when they're wrong. So you have to, people have to believe something. If they can't believe in time, time is changing everything. They can't believe that they're conscious. Then there's no sense talking to them, because otherwise we'll simply become bewildered. We think it's worth our time try and convince everyone, even though they absolutely refuse to be convinced of anything. And the only thing is, our minds are going to get agitated, and when our minds are agitated, then we'll forget everything too, just like they are. They can't understand anything. People are in ignorance because their minds are agitated or too dull to understand. And if we get into an argument with them, then our minds will become agitated and dull like theirs are. And we'll start doubting our own philosophy. Yeah, maybe I am this body. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Now I can gratify my senses. I always wanted to gratify my senses. Without any conscience. Oh, this philosophy makes me feel so bad. Better I associate with people who don't believe anything. And then maybe one day I won't believe anything too, and I'll be free to be an animal again. So we should try to understand even the basic concept of Krishna conscious philosophy, and then we'll be inspired to do something practical to become conscious of Krishna. Krishna is not saying, I'm this and I'm that, just to be puffed up. Oh, I'm the strength of the strong. It's me, Krishna. I'm sex life. Don't you wish you were sex life? Krishna is not saying this so we can become envious of him. He's saying it so that we understand that he is those things already. We're just falsely identifying ourselves with him. That he's the smell in the earth, he's the light in the fire, he's all these things. It's just that we're falsely identifying ourselves as the doers, the enjoyers, the controllers, and everything else. And therefore we're entrapped by the material nature. So we may think that, well, that's all right. I don't mind being trapped. I like it. It's kind of fun being here. Why should I complain? All right, Krishna, it's true. Maybe you're all these things, and I'm an illusion. But I like my illusion. I have a good illusion. Unlike some of the other unfortunate people, they have a bad illusion. But my illusion is quite nice. I don't mind suffering, because it's kind of fun suffering sometimes. So people who think like that, they're not very eligible to become Krishna conscious. And if we think like that, we won't be eligible either. So we have to understand that Krishna is saying these things so we can actually try to do something simple, like take something, utilize it for Krishna to please him, because then we'll become free from our material misconceptions. Unless we understand that we're trying to get free out of the bodily concept of life, we're trying to get into the spiritual concept of life, we're trying to wake up as a spiritual being, and that by doing so, we're not going to miss out on the material world. That we have to be convinced about. That after a while, you know, all these things, the coronavirus, and if you read the newspapers, then I think there's revolutions going on in America. And one side says that people who are revolting are bad, and the other one says that people who are trying to end the revolt are bad, and they're all bad. Because none of them are for Krishna. They're all an illusion. They point out that actually, just like they tore down the statue somewhere of Christopher Columbus, because he was actually a demon. He came to the world, and they proclaim that he discovered America. It's like someone looks through a telescope and they see a planet, and they give the planet the name. The planet goes, oh, thank you very much. My mother never gave me a name. I've been wandering out here in space, nameless. Everyone asks me who you are, and we say, my mother never gave me a name. I don't know. And finally, some nice astronomer gave me a name. He even signed my name on a birth certificate. So they say Christopher Columbus discovered America. But actually, you know, there's a history. And people in the material world, they don't go to a place for a vacation and, you know, and bring things to the natives. The people who came to America came and exploited people to the maximum, stole their gold, enslaved them, tortured them. This is just normal, everyday Kali Yuga business. That's what everyone does, including Christopher Columbus. So they have statues, oh, you know, they don't tell you what he did. He just kind of discovered America, and they have a day. But people know that this guy was just like everyone else. He was a demon like all of us. He exploited the people here. He tortured them. He did, you know. So they pulled down his statue. But these people are also doing the same thing. People are pulling down the statue. They're also killing animals or having illicit sex, exploiting others. They're just envious that they can't exploit everyone. Others, like the people who are exploiting them. So they're envious of the people who exploit. They want to be able to exploit like the other people are. So we're not for any of these people. We understand that they're all, you know, people who say you're a demon, they're correct. The people say, well, you're also a demon. They're also correct. That we agree with them. But we're not trying to be envious of them. We're trying to help them become Krishna conscious. Because then they can wake up and find out who they really are. Then they can try to, they won't be so much attached to trying to exploit others. And they won't be so much disturbed when others are trying to exploit them. Because they'll actually won't be exploited by the material nature anymore. So that's what we're interested in. Otherwise, all these things are going, Prabhupada would talk about, you know, you read the newspapers, the same thing over and over again. This person got killed. That person got his money stolen. That war started here. It's all reaction to people's unwillingness to accept Krishna and follow his instructions, even the most basic instructions. So therefore, there's so much disturbance in Kali Yuga. And even if there's something good going on, and good means that my team won, that's called good. They won the football match. That's good. And everyone else is complaining, well, my team lost. But that's all right. It's good for me. Some people don't even know what good is. They don't know everything is. They don't know what bad is. They don't know anything. And that's what we're supposed to do, is convince them that Krishna is God, and that if they serve him, then they'll be good. Otherwise, they'll get out of the material conception of life. They'll become Krishna conscious, and they'll live forever in ecstasy, in pure love and pure awareness. They'll be able to love everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. And that's good. And if they don't know Krishna, they won't love anyone, including their own selves. Or they'll love themselves very little. They won't do good for themselves. They won't do good for anyone. So that's bad. So we want to do good for everyone, all the time. And that's called Krishna consciousness. So that we have to become convinced of. If we're not convinced about that, we'll just waver back and forth. And we'll think, well, a little, you know, Krishna consciousness with a little sense gratification, it's not so bad. But it's all right, you know. It's a slow process. It may take a few lifetimes of Brahma, but I'm prepared. If we have that kind of determination, then, you know, we'll get a little Krishna consciousness and we'll get a lot of other things too, a lot of problems. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, when you said that we should give people Krishna consciousness to help them, many times I ask myself if people are like, I don't know, maybe an example, starving, and you give them Krishna consciousness, that wouldn't look like something that you truly help them. So it might have been seen as not like the help, not that you really help them. Like, so
seen by who?
don't know.
Them? What about you? Do you think you're helping them?
Yes.
So would you care what everyone else thinks?
Of course.
If you, they say, oh yes, you should help them. Help them. You're interfering with their opportunity. You're going to agitate their mind, so they're going to not become the highest person in their class. They may actually take time off and hear about Krishna, and therefore they won't be completely focused on their study. But who's focused on their study nowadays? Most of them are wasting their time getting drunk on the weekends. You know, chasing after women or men or animals or something in the meantime. And then they, one, you know, two nights during before the test, they take all kinds of amphetamines to stay up to cram for their test. That's what most of our modern people who are so-called becoming distracted by Krishna consciousness. That actually, if you become Krishna conscious and you're actually serious about being a student, it'll help you. Just like the Indian children we see. Because they, especially the ones who come to the West, and they're innocent when they come. They're brought up in a relatively stable family. Their parents were a little bit concerned that they didn't take intoxication at 5 years old, you know, and have a girlfriend when they're seven. Whatever, they were a little concerned about these things. I mean, you may laugh, but if you go to Sweden, I mean, 20 years ago when I was in Finland, and also in Denmark, they were telling me, in 20 years ago, in Sweden, when you're 5 years old in Sweden, the boys and girls, they have show and tell. They show everything, and they tell about it. At 5 years old, just so that they don't get frustrated when they grow up. So, it may seem strange, maybe here, but in Sweden, you know, you don't think that's a good idea? Something wrong with you? So it's not that we're going to distract people from there. We're actually going to give them some ability to concentrate on something. Something valuable. And even if they go through the whole process and they become the most famous, strong, learned, wealthy, whatever else in the material world, still they have to die and get all the reactions for everything they've done. Not necessarily come back as a human being again. So what's the value of all that effort? Now someone may disagree, well, I don't believe people are going to become an animal. Well, then, you know, that's your opinion. Krishna's opinion is that you get a body according to your work. Just like you got this body. Where did this body come from? How did we get into this body? Well, I am the body. Okay, well, good luck. You are the body. Which body? You've had so many bodies. Were you that baby body? The 15-year-old body? You're this body? When you become old, are you going to be that body too? You've had so many bodies. Which one are you? Well, they're all the same. Really, they're all the same. Exactly the same. Really. Oh. Good luck. I mean, if someone thinks their body is exactly the same, you know, then obviously they have some problems and of being able to discriminate between a baby and a 15-year-old person and a, you know, 25-year-old person and a 95-year-old person. Obviously, they have some problem with discrimination. So maybe find someone who has a little bit better, you know, ability to discriminate between when you're 5 years old and 50. If you can't see any difference whatsoever, then obviously you have to find someone who can see such a difference. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that some of these people claim they are God, but they cannot change the weather. What if some of them can? There apparently are some people who are able to adjust the weather.
Have you met any of them?
I met people who met them.
How can they change their weather?
They remove the clouds, make it a sunny day. I mean, nowadays they can do it even mechanically. But
yeah, okay.
But there are some, like, so shaman type of...
Okay, so they can change the weather. Can they stop you from changing your body? Okay, so then. So that's more valuable than changing the weather. Okay, thank you very much. Karandaraj, Bhagavad Gita, Kijaj.